So this morning what we thought we would do is have an introduction to Anne Baker, but in the style of me asking questions to our panel of experts. But, you know, I'm imagining this to be slightly informal, so if you've got anything you'd really like to ask, do say as well. Yeah, so is that clear? Are we happy to carry on? So let's start at the beginning. So last night I said that Dr. Anne Baker is from a particular background. He's in the caste system. He was what was known as untouchable by the higher caste. So first of all, I thought we'd go into what that actually means. And I thought perhaps we could just start. I don't know if any of you would like to explain what the caste system means from your point of view.
भारतामध्ये जाती व्यवस्थेला खूप महत्त्व दिलेलं आहे आणि त्याचं कारण आहे हिंदू धर्म. तर भारतामध्ये हिंदू धर्मामध्ये जाती व्यवस्थेला खूप महत्त्व आहे.
सो इन इंडिया इन हिंदू रिलिजन कास्ट इज गिव्हन लॉट ऑफ इम्पॉर्टन्स. कास्ट सिस्टम इज गिव्हन.
आणि हिंदू धर्मामध्ये चार वर्ण आहेत.
सो हिंदू रिलिजन इज बेसिकली डिवाइडेड इन टू फोर क्लासेस.
आणि जो पहिला नंबरचा क्लास आहे तो आहे ब्राह्मण.
तो फर्स्ट क्लास इज ब्राह्मीण क्लास.
दुसरा वैश्य.
सेकंड इज मर्चंट क्लास.
तिसरा क्षत्रिय.
थर्ड इज वॉरियर क्लास.
आणि चौथा आहे शूद्र.
अँड फोर्थ इज दे आर कॉल्ड एज शूद्रा विच इज अ लोअर कॅटेगरी.
आणि
सर्वंट क्लास बेसिकली.
आणि ह्या शूद्र जमातीने फक्त वरच्या वर्गाची सेवा करायची. त्यांना कुठलेही अधिकार नव्हते.
अँड दिस फोर्थ क्लास सर्वंट क्लास वर गिव्हन द रोल दॅट दे वुड ओनली सर्व द हायर क्लासेस अँड दे डिंट हॅड एनी राईट्स ऑफ देअर ओन.
त्यांना म्हणजे गावाच्या बाहेर वस्ती असायची.
सो दे यूज टू लिव आउटसाइड विलेजेस.
आणि त्यांच्या सावलीचा सुद्धा उच्च वर्णीयांना विटाळ होत होता.
अँड इट वॉज कन्सिडर्ड दॅट इवन इफ द शॅडो ऑफ अ पर्सन बिलॉंगिंग टू दिस क्लास इफ फॉल्स ऑन अनादर पर्सन दे वुड पोल्यूट.
ते पैसे कमावू शकत नव्हते. चांगले कपडे घालू शकत नव्हते. चांगल्या घरात राहू शकत नव्हते.
दे हॅड नो राईट्स टू अर्न मनी. दे हॅड नो राईट टू वेअर गुड क्लोथ्स अँड दे हॅड नो राईट टू लिव्ह इन अ प्रॉपर हाऊस.
खूप वाईट परिस्थिती शूद्रांची होती. आणि शूद्रामध्ये एकच जात नाही आहे तर त्याच्यामध्ये अनेक जाती आहेत.
अँड द सिच्युएशन वॉज एक्स्ट्रीमली वर्स अँड देर इज नॉट ओनली वन कास्ट इन दिस क्लास. देर आर मेनी कास्ट इन दिस क्लास.
आणि म्हणजे वाईट गोष्ट अशी आहे की जे शूद्रामध्ये ज्या अनेक जाती आहेत त्यांच्यामध्ये सुद्धा एकमेकांशी असे व्यवहार नाही आहेत.
अँड द सिच्युएशन विच इज लाईक मोर वर्स दॅन दिस इज अँड इन दॅट सर्वंट क्लास देर आर मेनी कास्ट अँड इन इच ऑफ दिस कास्ट देर आर मेनी सब कास्ट.
आणि म्हणजे आता सुद्धा तशीच परिस्थिती आहे.
अँड इवन नाव द सेम सिच्युएशन इज देअर. मेनली
बाबासाहेबांचा जन्म शूद्रामध्ये महार जातीमध्ये झाला.
सो बाबासाहेब वॉज बॉर्न इन वन ऑफ दिस शूद्रा कास्ट अँड महार कास्ट इन पर्टिक्युलर अमॉंग दॅट एंटायर क्लास.
त्यांनी जरी सर्व शूद्रांसाठी आणि सर्व भारतीयांसाठी काम केलेलं असलं तरी महाराशिवाय त्यांना फार लोक मानत नाही. म्हणजे अजूनही नाही मानत.
And though he had done his work for everyone, but people apart from this Mahar community don't give much importance to him.
So maybe we could hear some experiences of you know, perhaps you two from the older generation of your experience of caste, because in the UK, I was led to believe. Part of my degree was about Hinduism, and we were told, you know, that the caste has been eliminated, and there's no such thing anymore. So I wanted to ask both of you two to maybe say your experiences of caste discrimination and how you've experienced it.
Actually, I myself particularly don't have that much experience caste because I born in Mumbai, East Mumbai, Bombay, and I just live there. So, in a big cities, we can say, so we are finding very much difficult class direct, the casteism direct actually. Indirect way, there are something, but direct way, we can't see in big cities. But in villages, still we have caste system. So Mayor Nanshuri will be better because she comes from village, and in her age, it was really difficult.
मला काही अनुभव आहेत. मी नागपूरला राहते.
I live in Nagpur and I have some experiences to share.
ज्यावेळी मी शाळेत माझ्या वडिलांनी माझं नाव घातलं त्यावेळी वर्गाच्या बाहेर नव्हते बसवत पण वर्गात एका बाजूला बसावं लागत होत.
So when my father enrolled me for school, so I wasn't like asked to sit outside the classroom, but I was not allowed to sit with other students. I was asked to sit separate from them.
आणि वर्गामध्ये म्हणजे मी हुशार विद्यार्थिनी होते तरीही म्हणजे तिथे जे शिक्षक होते त्यांना ते आवडत नव्हतं.
I was a brilliant child, but my teachers didn't used to like that, and they always used to give me less marks.
आणखी एक होतं की शाळेमध्ये आम्ही जे मुली होतो तर एकत्र बसून आम्ही डबे वगैरे खात नव्हतो.
And all the students of my class, and there were girls also there. So we used to have our lunch, but we didn't used to sit together for lunch.
म्हणजे लहान मुलांवर सुद्धा तसे संस्कार होते की यांच्या सोबत तुम्ही बसायचं नाही किंवा यांच्याबरोबर खायचं नाही.
So even the small children had that kind of conditioning that don't sit with them, don't eat with them.
आणि ह्या सगळ्या परिस्थितीमुळे आम्ही लहान असताना सुद्धा आमच्यावर तसे संस्कार होते की आपण त्यांच्यापेक्षा कोणीतरी खालचे आहोत.
अँड बिकॉज द सिच्युएशन वॉज ऑल ओव्हर अराउंड अस वी ऑल्सो हॅड दॅट सेम काइंड ऑफ कंडिशनिंग दॅट वी आर समवॉट इन्फेरियर दॅन दे आर.
हे मी लहान असतानाच होतं असं नाही पण आजही शाळांमध्ये कॉलेजमध्ये जे महार जातीची मुलं आहेत त्यांच्यावर अन्याय केला जातो.
सो दिस इज नॉट दॅट इट हॅपन्ड वेन आय वॉज स्मॉल. इवन टुडे दोज स्टुडंट्स हु बिलॉंग टू दिस महार कम्युनिटी दे आर डिस्क्रिमिनेटेड इन दिस मॅनर इन स्कूल्स अँड कॉलेजेस.
म्हणजे माझी मुलगी माझ्या दोन मुली एका शाळेमध्ये होत्या. शाळा ब्राह्मणाची होती आणि त्या पण हुशार होत्या पण पेपरवर सगळं राईट असताना पण कमी मार्क द्यायचे तर मला भांडावं लागत होतं त्यांच्याशी जाऊन.
सो आय हॅड टू डॉटर्स अँड बोथ ऑफ देम वेर हॅव्हिंग देअर एज्युकेशन इन अ स्कूल विच वॉज लाईक मॅनेज्ड बाय ब्राह्मीण पीपल. बोथ ऑफ देम वेर इंटेलिजंट अँड दे यूज टू गेट लेस नंबर. सो आय हॅड टू गो टू देअर स्कूल अँड फाईट विथ द टीचर्स.
आणखी एक उदाहरण आहे आमच्या म्हणजे माझ्या मुलीचं. ती डॉक्टर आहे आणि जेव्हा ती मेडिकलचे त्यांची प्रॅक्टिकल एक्झाम होती दिसायला सुंदर असल्यामुळे कोणाला वाटलं नाही की ती महार जातीची आहे. तेव्हा तिला सगळेजण तिचं कॉंग्रॅच्युलेशन करत होते की तू फर्स्ट आहेस म्हणून पण जेव्हा रिझल्ट लागला तेव्हा नापास होती ती.
वन मोर एक्झाम्पल टू शेअर अबाउट माय डॉटर. सो शी इज डॉक्टर अँड वेन शी वॉज हॅव्हिंग हर एज्युकेशन बिकॉज शी इज व्हेरी गुड लुकिंग अँड यू कॅनॉट मेक फ्रॉम हर अपिअरन्स दॅट शी बिलॉंग्स टू दिस कास्ट. सो एव्हरी वन यूज टू अप्रिशिएट हर प्रेज हर दॅट यू आर लाईक टॉपर in this subject and everything. When they came to know about her caste and when the results came out after examination, she failed in the very subject. She was like praised for being topper.
आणि ते प्रॅक्टिकलचे मार्क असल्यामुळे आपण काहीच करू शकत नव्हतो.
अँड दे वेर नॉट द मार्क्स ऑफ थिअरॉटिकल एक्झामिनेशन, इट इज लाईक प्रॅक्टिकल एक्झामिनेशन अँड ओनली टीचर्स गिव यू दॅट मार्क्स, सो यू कॅनॉट डू एनिथिंग, देर इज नो प्रूफ ऑफ युअर परफॉर्मन्स.
So clearly it still happens, and Dr. Ambedkar was from the Maha caste in Maharashtra, but wondered about Ratna Kumar saying a bit about he's from Orissa, which is a different part of India, about your experience of caste.
Yes, I had lots of experience about caste discrimination since my childhood, and yes, like Gnanashwari mentioned that when she used to go to school, at the times the upper caste students didn't will to sit together. So that was happened to me, even though I am younger and I live in this 20th century, but I faced the same discrimination in the school. I remember at the beginning of my first school, the teachers asked me to sit outside the classroom, and yeah, that was very different for me. And so I live in a village, and it is very very separate from the upper caste people, and when I used to go to shop for buying something, at the time the shopkeeper was not touching the coin or rupees as we use in India, rupees. And when I used to go to playground to play football and cricket, so at the time we were not allowed in the same playground, and we had a lots of fight with them, that we are trying to prove our rights, that we do have rights in that playground. And yes, so this is my childhood experience, and I think 2 years ago when I was doing my master, so at that time professor he did discriminate me, but he tried to discourage me to go for my higher education. So he just commented that, what will you do after this? So you don't have any career, we don't have any. Though I passed in first class, I scored good marks. So so that is experience. And 1 year ago, one of my cousin went to a barber and asked him to cut his hair, but he refused. He refused, and after that there was a fight, and all my friends and colleagues went to that shop and broke their shop. So this is the present experience in India about the caste system.
So traditionally the caste system would mean that it'd be very difficult, well, people from the scheduled caste were denied access to education. See, that's changed now on the surface, but we can see the same currents happening. So how was it that Dr. Ambedkar managed to become the most educated man in India? What happened?
He's brilliant and intellectual boy, actually. When he pass his 10th out of this all discriminations and sitting outside, not touching even water or like this. But the Shahu Maharaj from West Maharashtra, Kolhapur state, he gave him the reservation about, you know, a scholarship to learn more. And then the Sayaji Maharaj, who gave him scholarship to go out of India, like in Colombia and all this. So because of some people, they know this is not a good way to with somebody who is human to to act like this. So they help him a lot because of them, actually, like Sayaji Maharaj and Shahu Maharaj and one of his teacher who is actually Brahmin but a good man in a sense, actually. They are like such people. They gave him courage and support and like this. So because of them, he can able to educate like this, actually.
म्हणजे
त्यांच्या वडिलांपासून सुरुवात झाली. वडील ह्याच्यामध्ये सैन्यामध्ये होते आणि सैन्यामध्ये असल्यामुळे त्यांना शिक्षणाचं महत्व कळलं होतं आणि म्हणून त्यांनी त्यांच्या मुलाला शाळेत शिकवण्याचं ठरवलं आणि शिक्षणाचं खूप महत्व त्यांनी लहान म्हणजे भीमराव यांच्यावर बिंबवलं होतं.
She wants to add that actually it started because of his father, his education, because his father was working in military, British Army, and because he was in army, he had realized that how important education can be, and he was convinced about education could be very helpful, and he told this to Bhimrao Ambedkar, and he sort of way like made it very strong in his mind that education is like very important.
And is it true that he was the first person from the scheduled caste to matriculate to finish secondary school?
Yeah.
So, and you mentioned the conditions that he suffered under, so he had to sit outside the classroom. He was not allowed to share the water of the other children. Is there something about his food as well? He had to keep his food in a separate place.
So everything is separate from others, actually, you know, because of the caste. And he's not only Kshudra, actually. There is in Kshudra, there is again one class, that is Ati Kshudra. It means untouchables. That's what Jnan Shuri said. No, untouchables is really horrible situation.
Yes, and so by incredible dedication and the sponsorship of some of two major Maharajas, Kolhapur and Baroda, he gained access to an education and had got some scholarships to Columbia University and in London. And you know, he got a PhD from Columbia and
DSc from London School of Economics.
Yeah, there's a statue of him there. And he was called to the bar in Gray's Inn, which so he studied law as well. So he came back to India with all this education. How did he manage to, what did he do, what was his next steps to fight caste in India?
Yes, as with Sayaji Maharaj from Baroda state, now it is in Gujarat, they have a contract. After finishing his education, he should come and work for him as a
finance minister.
And he just after finishing his education, he just went to Baroda state and took his charge as a finance minister. And when he reached in Baroda and want to search a room for stay for and he's really find difficult to get a rental house because he's untouchable man. So once he decided that I should I should hide my caste, and he went to one person and said, I am a belong to Parsi family, so and want a rental room. So then only he get a room, rental room, and then when he went to his office, just join his office. It's really horrible because those colleagues actually, they work for him actually. But even though they don't support, even he's a pune. Once you were going to see the picture actually in the dome, once he just asked water for water from his pune, and he just don't reply him. He said, "I want water," and he just sitting there only. And because, and then he said, "You are Mr. Ambedkar, you are untouchable, and how you dare to ask me to give you water?" He is minister actually. He was minister that time, the finance minister, and he really felt so sad actually. No? And after knowing, after some days where he stay in a rental place, they know that this person is not a Parshik family. He is from untouchables. So just this, they all together, they all just came there and wanted to beat him. And at midnight, they just throw him out from that room. And it's happened like that actually. And here, then he thought that, no, it's really difficult to stay here in Baroda anymore. So, should go back. And he went out from Baroda. Actually, he thrown out from Baroda.
Yeah. Now, there's a very famous bench in Baroda.
Yeah.
See the nods. Would someone like to say about the famous bench and what happened on the bench in Gujarat?
Yes, when he was asked to leave that Parsi guest house where he was staying, he said that give me 24 hours to find another room or make some another arrangement and I take my things and everything. And then he goes back to the Maharaja of Baroda and he said that you have employed me. I am finance minister of your state and you live in such a big palace and maybe you can just make some arrangement for my stay. And the Maharaja says, look, I can give you employment, I can give you salary, everything. But this is not in my powers to make some arrangement for you to stay. And I don't know if this thought came in his mind at that moment or later on. Like, he's a king of that state. And a king cannot make arrangement for one person to stay. Though he is employed by him, though he has sponsored for his education and everything. And then if the king, who is superior that the king in that state? And then he goes to this park because he has no place to sleep at the night. So under this tree, he's sitting there thinking and he cries under that tree. He sheds tears. But that was not the tears of helplessness. That was those tears that Bodhisattvas shed when they, from their own sufferings, get connected to the sufferings of the world. And there on this bench, he's thinking, he's in this deep reflection that I'm the most educated man in this India, not only amongst the untouchables, but whatever the ministers, Nehru, Gandhi, Jinnah, name whoever, he was most educated man at that moment in that country. And if I'm suffering in this way because of this caste, what about those millions of people who are not even literate, not even able to read or write or do anything, what conditions they might be in? And there he, on that bench, that night, he takes this bodhisattva vow, really, that hereafter, the only purpose of my life would be to alleviate these people from this hell realm of caste. My task, my life would be devoted for this caste of elimination and establishing a society where there would be no divisions or barriers of this caste. And he takes this vow that if I am not able to eliminate caste from this country, from this world, whatever, I will shoot myself. That happened in that tree on that bench.
So extremely significant. One could say, yes, the Bodhisattva vow arising on that bench.
Bodhicitta.
The Bodhicitta. It's extremely important.
You know that place famous now, Central Bhumi.
Yeah, and there's a plaque. They've made it a special. I've met some order members from Gujarat who are very proud to show me a picture of that bench, which I must say I'm very moved to see, which you'll also see in the movie. So he makes the Bodhisattva vow to really eradicate injustice in India, in the caste system. What kind of steps did he take next? I'm thinking particularly maybe social action. Ratnakumar, we haven't heard from you for a while. Maybe you could tell us about the tank.
Tank?
Yeah.
Yes. So, Dr. Ambedkar started his movement against this injustice in inhuman social system and try to mobilize the people. Actually, he started after that in 1922 and 1924. He founded one organization, Bahiskrut Hitkarini Sabha, and he started one magazine that is Mook Nayak. Translate. He rose up down.
Yes.
Yeah, and he tried to raise the status of the scheduled caste, the untouchables, and in 1926 he again formed another institution that is depressed class mission, and through that he tried to raise the status of untouchables, and he found extreme difficult situation from the upper caste people. And you know, during that time India was ruled by Britishers, and because of that he was somehow able to communicate something through literature and his magazine, that Mook Nayak, Voice of Dawn, Heroes of Dawn. Yeah, and in 1927 and 28, in 27 actually, and before that, in 1919, there was an act that is 1919 Act, we call that, and Montagu Chelmsford Act. And through that act, Britishers tried to raise the status of untouchables through education and different medium. During that time, in 1927 and 28, the Simon Commission was appointed to visit India to observe the status of the untouchables. And during that time, Dr. Ambedkar started the movement to drink water from a tank, that is Mahar tank. And during that time, he started to march towards that Mahar tank. Mahar is the caste, and Mahar is the place. So the tank is called Mahar tank. And
so just go back though, so why is that significant? First, a tank in India means a reservoir, what we would call a reservoir.
Yes.
So trying to get, he was just marching towards the tank means he just wanted to drink the water.
Yeah. And yes, untouchables were not allowed to drink or take water from the public tank, even though animals were allowed to drink the water. So Dr. Ambedkar started that march to the Mahar tank and drank water from the tank. And after that, the upper caste people purified that water, putting cow dung and urine. And yeah, so that is the purification according to Hindu laws.
And cow's urine is sacred.
And cow's urine is sacred. He found that even though he was taking lots of steps to reform the society, but again there was lots of resistance and lots of protest against him. And during the time, he again started another work that he burned Manusmriti, that is the law of Hindus, laws of Manu, and where all these the codes and conducts of untouchability and how untouchables should behave and how they will be punished and how women should be punished. So all these things were written down in that book. So Dr. Ambedkar thought that this is the root of all causes. So he burnt in that spot and declared that we should not follow these things. And in 1928, Simon Commission visited to India to see the situation. And Dr. Ambedkar was supposed to show so the Simon Commission that what is the position of untouchable. So because of that, he tried to march to a Kalaram temple. Again, untouchables were denied to enter into temples, even though they were considered as Hindu, the part of the Hindu society. But Dr. Ambedkar brought that ideas that even though we consider as Hindu, but we are not Hindu. So he tried that and showed the Simon Commission, and he discussed with Simon Commission. But during that time, Gandhi and Congress, they opposed Simon Commission, and they gave the reason that in the Simon Commission there were no any Indian representative. So, and that was not the fact, because if the Simon Commission will know about the real situation of the untouchables Dalits, so they will prepare another plan to raise their status. So that was the cause.
So maybe we go back and recap. So you're talking about three forms of social action. Well, there was also the magazine. And he got involved with the Simon Commission to examine untouchability in India. And he had the three social actions. So just to say, he wasn't alone going to drink the tank. There were many. How many people were with him?
Many people. खूप मोठा तो समूह होता एकत्र आलेला आणि लहान मुलं पण होती बायका पण होत्या पुरुष पण होते आणि खूप मोठ्या प्रमाणात होते.
So many people came together. Difficult to tell the exact number because there were children, women, and many people in that procession.
आणि एक गोष्ट झालेली आहे की जेव्हा बाबासाहेब आणि सगळे लोक त्या पाण्याला स्पर्श करतात आणि हिंदू लोकांना माहिती होतं म्हणजे महाडच्या आणि ते येऊन सगळ्यांना मारतात.
So the incident happened that when Babasaheb touches that water with all this procession and the people of the village comes to know, Hindu people, that these people have touched this water. So they come there and they start beating everybody.
म्हणजे खूप बायकांना मारलं, लहान मुलांना मारलं म्हणजे खूप वाईट पद्धतीने मारलं त्यांना. आणि जेव्हा बाबासाहेब त्या ठिकाणी नव्हते, बाबासाहेब रेस्ट हाऊस मध्ये थांबले होते, तेव्हा त्यांना कळतं की म्हणजे असं मारहाण होत आहे म्हणून, तर बाबासाहेब आपल्या लोकांना सांगतात की तुम्ही काही करायचं नाही, म्हणजे कायदा हातात घ्यायचा नाही.
सो दिस हिंदू पीपल वेन दे केम दे व्हेरी बॅडली बीट चिल्ड्रन, वुमन अँड एव्हरीबडी. अँड वेन दिस इन्सिडेंट वॉज हॅपनिंग, वेन दे वेर बीटिंग, Dr. Ambedkar was not there. He was in his guest house. But when he comes to know about this, he comes there and he tells his people that no matter if they are like beating you, you are not beating them back. Or you are not making use of violence in response to this violence.
म्हणजे जर बाबासाहेबांनी नुसतं हो म्हटलं असतं तरी महाड नावाचं गाव इतिहास म्हणजे भूगोलातून मिटलं असतं.
And the fact is that if Dr. Ambedkar would have said yes or given this permission to respond violence by violence, so it is true that that village today wouldn't have existed on the map or in this world.
So Bharatini barobar mhantla ki bodhisattvancha hriday hota tyancha.
So Bharti really said that he was, whatever he was doing was, or responding, that was bodhisattva's heart behind it.
So very important. He never advocated violence. Very passionate believer in non-violence. But what kind of obstacles did he face in his work? I mean, I know this is a big question, but I might just raise Gandhi, because Radha Kumar mentioned him. Was Gandhi supportive of Dr. Ambedkar? It's a bit of a trick question, because I know people in the West really rate Gandhi, but there's a whole story behind that. So, yes, did Gandhi support Ambedkar's work?
No.
I
don't think so, because Gandhi was number one staunch opponent of Dr. Ambedkar, and he was not actually opponent of Dr. Ambedkar. He was a very strong supporter of this society based on division, based in classes. So he was strong believer of that, and he was orthodox Hindu. So throughout his life, he dedicated his life through his social work, through his political work, whatever he did was to protect that system as it.
So Gandhi was a believer in the caste system, which comes as a shock sometimes to Westerners, because we're not told about that aspect. I do recommend, by the way, if you do want to learn more, I mean, Gandhi and Ambedkar's relationship is a PhD in the making, you know, so we won't have time to go into it so much here. But I do recommend there's an article by Arundhati Roy, who you might have heard of. She's an
Saint versus Dr. Ambedkar.
Yeah.
Saint versus Doctor.
Yeah, the Doctor and the Saint.
Yeah.
And it's because she wrote a preface to one of his works, Annihilation of Caste, which is really a book in itself, actually. But it's paraphrased in The Doctor and the Saint, and you can read that online. So she's a wonderful writer, actually. Arundhati Roy. She wrote The God of Small Things and a recent book.
What's the article?
The Doctor and the Saint, yeah.
It's also a YouTube speech that she gives,
or a talk
that she gives.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, she's on YouTube giving a talk as well. So, and we'll see a bit in the movie about their relationship. So maybe let's
just for him, I think I read somewhere that one of Gandhi's starvation, you know, his fast son to the death, was in protest against
So maybe we'll say why did Gandhi do that particular fast unto death? And what was he protesting against? It's a bit of a technical area.
So, I'll carry that process from 1928, Gandhi and Congress opposed to the Simon Commission. So they didn't able to move. See the real condition of India. So they came back to England and they called different representatives from India to the roundtable conference. And in the first roundtable conference, Dr. Ambedkar and some other leaders joined the first roundtable conference. But Gandhi didn't join the roundtable conference, and he started protest against the round table conference. He started Dandi March at the time for salt, even though people were dying in hunger. So he didn't have anything against that, but he tried to oppose actually Dr. Ambedkar to participate in round table conference, and he gave a slogan that those who will join his protest, his Dandi March, will be called nationalist or patriot. Those who will not join that Dandi March, they will call
anti-national.
Yeah. So, but Dr. Ambedkar didn't care and came to participate in first roundtable conference. Then Dr. Ambedkar convinced the Britishers that the situation of untouchables in India are not good. So then there was some dialogues went on between Ambedkar and the Simon Commission. And then Gandhi realized that this protest march will not work. So then he came again to join the second roundtable conference, and he tried to convince Britishers that he is the true representative of untouchables. There were many letters sent from India that Dr. Ambedkar is the true representative of the untouchables. And then there was one, after this conference, roundtable conference, communal award was declared. And in that communal award, there were six demands fulfilled by the Britishers for the upliftment of this downtrodden people. And amongst these six, there are two demands which is very, very significant. That is a dual voting system and separate electorate, separate settlement, separate electorate. And at the time, Gandhi was arrested and he was in the jail in Pune. And he opposed these demands of untouchables. Mm-hmm. And he started his hunger strike until death. And at the time, Dr. Ambedkar was forced to sign in the Pune Pact. Even he was tried to murder at that time. And Gandhi didn't compromise with this demand. So he was against the upliftment of untouchables.
Yeah.
So yes, because of that, still we have this untouchability in India. It's really horrible fact.
There is one more aspect to it. Like, Dr. Ambedkar was a very courageous man who could like really go against the dream. He didn't care if Gandhi died. And he didn't care for his own life, because there were like repeated attempts to like threaten him, to kill him, and everything. But Gandhi was not giving up. It was like, give me or I'll shoot myself. That kind of situation was there. And Dr. Ambedkar was in position that he knew, because at that time people of India were like so much into ignorance, and they were looking at Gandhi as a freedom fighter who would like really save India from Britishers and everything. So most of the people were supporting Gandhi, and only untouchables were supporting Dr. Ambedkar. And Dr. Ambedkar knew that this is presented as an issue, and something happens to Gandhi, it doesn't matter if I die, but if something happens to Gandhi, this whole people, they will just like beat black and blue to this untouchables. And they would be killed like anything, because you know after freedom how this riots were happening between Hindus and Muslims. And Muslims were killed like anything in India. So same situation would have come here. So this was again a Bodhisattva's vision, and that he gave up those rights which he had fought so hard to gain politically, because this was his way of fighting like politically, to acquire political rights for untouchables. And here also he just sacrificed this in order to like save many people.
Yes, and finally he signed in Pune Pact, and one reporter asked him after the sign of the Pune Pact that how are you feeling now, and Dr. Ambedkar replied that I am feeling like that I have brought a sweet orange from England, and Gandhi took that away squeeze all the juice from that orange and throw the
skin
to my face.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling like that. So that was his response at the time, and he was very sad.
So I'm going to jump ahead a bit because of time. Dr. Ambedkar did become the first law minister of independent India, and drafted the constitution. I don't know if anyone wanted to say about that. How did he frame the constitution? How did he write that?
So he started both social and political movement at the very beginning of his movement, and he founded All India Scheduled Caste Federation and Independent Labour Party, and again he published another magazine, that is Janta, means people, the people. And we can see his movement towards the liberal things and how he influenced by Buddha. We know that when he matriculated, so at that time he was presented a book about Buddha, and he was influenced from that time. Later on he explained about that. So then he started Prabuddha Bharat, the magazine, Enlightened India. And he founded Independent Labour Party, and there is actually a very strange events happened. How Dr. Ambedkar came to the Constitution Assembly. So there was election, and in that election, Dr. Ambedkar was actually. Nominated from a place, and he lost the election. And when he lost the election, there was another state, states, that is East Bengal. And from that East Bengal, one supporter of Dr. Ambedkar resigned from his seat, and tried to nominate Dr. Ambedkar from that seat. And at the time, the partition was happening. There was that there was a condition where there will be more than 60% population of Muslims, so that will go to Pakistan, and less than 60% will be in India. But in that place there were less than 60% Muslims, but that part was given to Pakistan because to restrict Dr. Ambedkar to enter into the Constituent Assembly. And they, the Sardar Patel declared that I will stop all these doors and windows to Dr. Ambedkar. So he can't enter into the Constituent Assembly. Yes, but fortunately he tried to manage that, and because of इनका क्या बोलेंगे उनका कोई रास्ता नहीं था यस एंड गांधी एंड जवाहरलाल नेहरू हैड नो एनी प्रॉपर ऑप्शंस टू राइट द कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन सो एक्चुअली दे आस्क्ड ब्रिटिशर्स दैट राइट द कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन बट ब्रिटिशर्स सजेस्टेड दैट यू हैव मोस्ट ब्रिलियंट पर्सन इन इंडिया हु कैन राइट योर कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन And you go and ask Dr. Ambedkar and bring them to Constituent Assembly. So, unwillingly, they elected him from Mumbai to the Constituent Assembly. And he relentlessly worked for drafting the Constitution.
Nehru drafted constitution twice, which is called as Nehru Report now, and which was discarded twice because it didn't show that he was there was same concern for well-being of everybody.
So the opening, whatever it's called, the preamble of the Constitution of India, what does that say? What's the basic principles of the Constitution of India?
Liberty, equality, freedom,
and liberty, equality, and fraternity. And did he get that from the French Revolution?
No.
No.
Yes.
Who is it from?
So I'll quote that here.
Yeah.
I have that in the Constitution. So Babasaheb Dr. Ambedkar. Put that values, liberty, equality and fraternity, and in the context he says here, my philosophy of life, And he said, positively, my social philosophy may be said to be enshrined in three words, liberty, equality and fraternity. Let no one, however, say that I have borrowed my philosophy from French Revolution. I have not. My philosophy has roots in religion and not in political science. I have derived them from the teachings of my master, the Buddha. In his philosophy, liberty and equality had a place, but he added that unlimited liberty destroyed equality, and absolute equality left no room for liberty. His philosophy, law had a place only as a safeguard against the breaches of liberty and equality. But he did not believe that law can be a guarantee for breaches of liberty or equality. He gave the highest place to fraternity as the only real safeguard against the denial of liberty or equality, or fraternity, which was another name for brotherhood or humanity, which was again another name for religion.
So, Dr. Ambedkar was a deeply religious man by nature, as I said last night, and he really emphasised the importance of fraternity in creating a true and just society, by which he also said in another place that what he meant by that was Maitri, metta, a sense of brotherhood, or obviously he's writing in 1940s India, so it's not just brotherhood as in men, but in terms of a sense of being part of the same humanity, really, the same whole, and respect and dignity for everybody. So why is it that he decided to convert to Buddhism, and why did he think that it was important in the end that his community became Buddhists? Let's go on to that angle.
We can see here the two incidences, like Mahad Reservoir and then Kalaram Mandir from Nashik. And he tried to make people to give respect as a human to us. No? But he find that this is really, really very difficult to these people. They are not allowing us as a human being. So in that way, in 1935, he decided himself that yes, I am born as a Hindu. It's not it was not in my hand actually, no. But when I will die, I must in my hand to where I should die, in Hinduism or somewhere. So since then, actually, he is starting to move to conversion, and he read a lot, actually, so many religions, he studied a lot, and in the end, he come to conclusion that Buddhism is the only religion, or you can say, the only path where human can live as a human. So he converted in Hinduism, in Buddhism, not only for their people only. He wants, in his writing, he said that what is the aim of Buddhism? The whole world become Buddhist is the aim of this life. In that way, he said actually. He was able to see in Buddhism that this is the way is so one can liberate from his life, or one can live with other people as a human being. So I think that was there. That's why he took Buddhism.
So he said, in the 1930s, so I was born a Hindu, I will not die a Hindu. And so he thought that religion was essential for society. Does anyone want to say why he thought religion, because it might be quite odd to some Western ears that, why would you think religion is essential to society? Because we see it as quite separate from the governance of society. But why did Dr. Amplica think it was essential?
So, if you see the life of Dr. Ambedkar, throughout his life, he was like in the midst of suffering. There was always suffering around him, and he was like observing and always like reflecting on that suffering. And his conclusion was, when one behaves in a very inappropriate manner with another human being, not treating him like a human being, that is the root cause of all suffering. So there is this essential need for the removal of that suffering, that one human being should act with another human being like a human being. And then what inspires a human to behave in that manner? Certainly not the law. Certainly what motivates us to behave like a human. So here the religion comes into play. Because most of us are motivated towards good behavior, towards these acts of compassion or everything through religion. So he was like searching for a religion which really promotes these values, or which really gives that encouragement to a human being to treat another human being as a equal human being. And also, because throughout, because that was his bodhisattva vow, to alleviate everyone from that suffering in which they were. So he tried educationally. He himself got education. He was the most educated man in India. But his education couldn't remove his own personal suffering. Like, he didn't get a place to stay. So education didn't remove his own personal suffering. So how could it remove the suffering of entire nation? Then he tried the social means whatever in 21st century are the established ways of removal of suffering. So social reforms. So he tried to do social reforms through Chowdar tank and many agitations he did. But social reforms didn't do anything. He was a law minister. He also worked in many important positions in British government, because British government didn't follow caste system. So he was able to get employment, and he was secretary to governor, and he brought made it possible through British government to establish many policies. So there were many rights sanctioned to untouchables, like taking water from public tanks. So there were law, there were rights given, but unless the society accepts that law, these laws cannot be implemented. Mm-hmm. So he saw the limitations of political reforms as well. So, and he was the only person at that time who was like speaking about humanist values. Because if you don't have any caste, then you are a human and you are a humanist. And from where do you get this human values? So throughout, through his political career, through his social reform career, through education, he was a multidimensional personality. Name a field in which he had not worked. He was a barrister. So he was working as a barrister, earning his living from that section. He was a journalist. He had started many magazines. So he was also trying to educate people through journalism and everything. But none of these were working, because every field has had these limitations. Mm-hmm. And through his personal practice and through his study of Buddhism, he came across this concept of like having wrong views. And wrong views are the things which make people behave in arrogance and not treat other people as human being. And no other religion had directly addressed this problem of having wrong views and removal of wrong views, and given the methods to remove this wrong views and come back to their essential pure nature and come in contact with their essential compassionate nature. So he made comparative study of all the religions, which you can study in the text we are looking at. He wrote this article, and all these things step by step were like making him convinced about the importance of religion. And as Ratnakumar read He said that everything he has derived from religion, and as Vajradhara says, he was deeply a very spiritual man. And in himself, while fighting with all this caste thing in India, and also studying Buddhism, and also like removing his own wrong views, he had taken himself out of that situation, and he himself had become a casteless person. So though society identified him with some certain castes, he didn't identify himself with any particular caste, and he himself became casteless in a way. And because he himself had that experience, he knew that this is possible to become casteless. And this state of being castelessness he had achieved through Buddhism. And he was deeply convinced in the method taught by Buddha that it can help you to become casteless, and it can help you to become a Buddhist. And he wanted to give it to the world. But if I want you to give you a gift, why would you take that gift from me unless you have trust on me? So who would respond to him very immediately? His own community. So he offered this gift of Buddhism to his own immediate family, his own immediate community. They responded to him, to his conversion to Buddhism. Although he invited everybody to join his conversion, but they didn't come. But if I do something, India is a very family-based country. So if I do anything, only my family immediately responds to me. So that's how the conversion happened. That's why he came to Buddhism. So I think.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, actually, maybe Nyan Shuri wants to say a bit about the conversion ceremony and what happened in 1956 when he did convert to Buddhism, because Nyan Shuri was there, which makes her a total superstar in my eyes anyway. So I wondered if you wanted to say a bit more about the conversion itself, Nyan Shuri.
आपण सगळ्यांनी ऐकलंय की 35 मध्ये त्यांनी धर्मांतर करण्याची घोषणा केली आणि 56 मध्ये धर्मांतर केलं. ते या मधल्या काळात ते काय करत होते?
सो यू माईट हॅव हर्ड दॅट ही हॅड डिसाइडेड टू कन्वर्ट इन 1935, बट ही ऍक्च्युअली कन्वर्टेड इन 1956. सो वन माईट वंडर दॅट व्हॉट ही वॉज डुईंग इन दॅट लॉंग गॅप.
ते इतर सर्व धर्माचा अभ्यास तर करतच होते, पण त्यांच्या लोकांमध्ये म्हणजे आमच्या कम्युनिटीमध्ये बौद्ध धर्माविषयी प्रत्येक वेळी काही ना काही माहिती देत होते.
सो ड्युरिंग दिस पिरियड ही वॉज लाईक डुईंग कम्पॅरेटिव्ह स्टडीज ऑफ ऑल द रिलिजन्स, बट ही वॉज ऑल्सो ट्राईंग टू स्प्रेड अवेअरनेस अमॉंगस्ट हिज ओन कम्युनिटी दॅट व्हॉट ही इज ट्राईंग टू डू.
निरनिराळ्या ठिकाणी सभा घेणं किंवा त्यांनी जे पेपर काढलेले आहेत त्या पेपरच्या माध्यमातून लोकांमध्ये सांगणं, पण एवढं पुरेसं नव्हतं तेव्हा ते.
सो ही वॉज टेकिंग मीटिंग्स ॲट डिफरंट प्लेसेस अँड ऑल्सो थ्रू द न्यूज पेपर्स दॅट ही वॉज रनिंग. ही वॉज स्प्रेडिंग अवेअरनेस, बट दॅट वॉज नॉट इनफ.
कारण म्हणजे सगळेच लोक त्यांचे भाषणं ऐकायला जाऊ शकत नव्हती किंवा सगळेच लोक वाचू शकत नव्हते.
बिकॉज इट वॉज नॉट पॉसिबल फॉर एव्हरी वन टू गो टू हिज मीटिंग्स अँड लिसन टू हिज टॉक्स, अँड नॉट एव्हरी वन वॉज इन पोझिशन टू रीड वॉट ही वॉज रायटिंग.
पण जेव्हा बाबासाहेब म्हणतात की आपल्याला हिंदू धर्मात राहायचं नाही, आपल्याला बौद्ध धर्मात जायचं आहे, तेव्हा लोकांना बुद्धाविषयी काही माहिती नव्हतं, धर्माविषयी काही माहिती नव्हतं, तरीही त्यांच्यासोबत जाण्याचा सगळ्यांचा निर्णय होता.
And when Babasaheb was telling people that we are not going to stay in Hinduism and we are moving towards Hinduism, but people didn't know about Buddha at all. They knew anything about what it was.
पण तरी बाबासाहेबांना एवढी श्रद्धा होती की काहीही बौद्ध धर्माविषयी माहिती नसताना त्यांनी सगळ्यांनी निर्णय घेतला की आपण बौद्ध धर्मामध्ये धर्मांतर करायचं.
बट दे हॅड दिस ट्रिमेंडस अमाऊंट ऑफ फेथ ऑन डॉक्टर आंबेडकर दॅट दो दे डिंट न्यू एनीथिंग अबाउट बुद्धिझम ॲट ऑल, दे डिसाइडेड टू गो इन टू बुद्धिझम विथ हिम.
मी हे थोडीशी पार्श्वभूमी याच्यासाठी सांगितली की जेव्हा प्रत्यक्ष दीक्षा झाली तर कुठल्या प्रकारचे लोक त्या दीक्षेमध्ये हजर होते.
So I'm telling you this background to give you a sense of that ceremony, when this conversion ceremony happened, that what kind of people were present at that time in that ceremony.
पूर्ण महाराष्ट्रातून लोक त्या ठिकाणी आलेली होती. अतिशय गरीब, म्हणजे खायला नाही, कपडे घालायला नाही, अशी लोक त्या ठिकाणी जमलेली होती.
So people from all over Maharashtra had gathered at that place, and they were the people who didn't have food to eat, who didn't have clothes to wear, and these were the people who were there.
आणि म्हणजे सांगायला हे वाटेल की ज्यांना लोकांना थोडीफार घर होती म्हणजे टीनाची वगैरे, तर ते विकून ते त्या ठिकाणी आले होते, किंवा दोन चार भांडी घरात असतील ती विकून ते त्या ठिकाणी आले.
And it is worth mentioning that these people, to just travel there and be at that place, they had sold the roofs because aluminium can be sold for recycling. So these tin sheds or aluminium sheds can be sold. So they had sold these things, or if they had some utensils in their house, they had sold these things to be present at that ceremony.
आणि म्हणजे बरीचशी लोक त्यांच्या गावापासून नागपूरपर्यंत पायी आलेली होती, म्हणजे 8-10 दिवसापूर्वी घरातून निघाली आणि 8-10 दिवसांनी ती नागपूरला पोहोचली.
अँड मेनी पीपल हॅड वॉक्ड फ्रॉम देअर विलेजेस अँड दे हॅड कंटिन्युअसली वॉक्ड फॉर 8-10 डेज टू रीच नागपूर टू द प्लेस वेअर द कन्वर्जन वॉज गोइंग टू हॅपन.
तर त्यावेळी संपूर्ण नागपूरमध्ये म्हणजे ज्या अनेक वस्त्या आहेत त्या वस्त्यांमध्ये खेड्यातून आलेल्या लोकांची गर्दी होती आणि त्यांच्या बरोबर ते 1-2 दिवस राहिलेले होते.
सो बिकॉज पीपल वेअर ट्रॅव्हलिंग फ्रॉम मेनी डेज, सो व्हॉट एव्हर सेटलमेंट ऑफ आर कम्युनिटी वेअर देअर इन नागपूर अँड फ्यू पीपल युज टू लिव्ह देअर, सो दिस पीपल केम टू दोज सेटलमेंट अँड दे युज टू दे वेअर स्टेईंग देअर फॉर लाईक 1-2 डेज बिफोर द सेटलमेंट.
मला आठवते की म्हणजे आम्ही ज्या झोपडपट्टीत राहत होतो तर तिथे अगदीच लहानशी आमची झोपडी होती आणि थोडीशी जागा होती त्या झोपडीच्या भोवती, तर जवळजवळ 200 लोक त्या झोपडीच्या भोवती आले म्हणजे राहत होती एक दिवस तरी.
And I remember that we used to live in slum. It was a very small slum and we had a very small hut in that slum, and we had some open space around our hut. There was not much space inside the hut, but about like 200 people came there and they stayed for a day before.
आणि म्हणजे मला ते आठवते की सगळ्यांनी त्यांच्या चुली पेटवल्या, त्याच्यावर भाकरी करायला लागली वगैरे, म्हणजे त्यांनी तिथे येऊन त्यांची सोय केली कारण आम्ही सगळ्यांना नव्हतो देऊ शकत.
अँड आय रिमेंबर दॅट दिस पीपल वर स्टेईंग इन दॅट ओपन स्पेस अँड दे हॅड ब्रॉट देअर ओन लिटल वॉट एव्हर फूड ट्रेन्स दे हॅड अँड दे कुक्ड देअर ओन फूड बिकॉज वी वेअर नॉट इन पोझिशन टू ऑफर देम फूड.
आणि ज्या दिवशी दीक्षा होती म्हणजे 14 ऑक्टोबरला, तर सकाळी जवळजवळ आम्ही 6 करून निघालो पायी, आणि ज्या ठिकाणी आम्ही राहत होतो त्या ठिकाणापासून दीक्षाभूमी म्हणजे बरीच लांब होती आणि तिथून आम्ही मोर्चाने निघालो.
अँड आय रिमेंबर ऑन द डे ऑफ कन्वर्जन वी स्टार्टेड फ्रॉम अवर प्लेस ॲट 6 o'clock इन द मॉर्निंग बिकॉज द दीक्षाभूमी विच इज द कन्वर्जन ग्राउंड वॉज व्हेरी फार अवे फ्रॉम अवर प्लेस अँड वी मार्च्ड टू दॅट प्लेस इन अ प्रोसेशन.
आणि मला अजूनही आठवते की जेव्हा आम्ही त्या म्हणजे समूहाने मार्च मध्ये जात होतो तेव्हा सगळ्यांचे चेहरे अगदी आनंदाने फुलून गेलेले होते.
अँड आय रिमेंबर दॅट वेन वी वेर वॉकिंग इन दॅट प्रोसेशन अँड गोईंग एव्हरीबडीज फेस वॉज लाईक लिट बाय जॉय, लाईक दे वर फुल ऑफ जॉय.
आणि प्रत्येक जण खूप याच्याने काही घोषणा देत होते की डॉक्टर आंबेडकर करे फुकार, बौद्ध धर्म का करो स्वीकार, अगदी सारख्या त्या घोषणा सुरू होत्या.
And people were like shouting many different slogans that Dr. Ambedkar is calling you to enter into Buddhism or embrace Buddhism. So let us embrace Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Such kind of slogans were there.
जेव्हा मी दीक्षाभूमीवर पोहोचलो तेव्हा त्याला दीक्षाभूमी म्हणत नव्हते, दीक्षानंतर आम्ही दीक्षाभूमी म्हणायला लागलो, तर त्याच्या आधी त्या भागाला माता कचेरी म्हणायची. तर तिथे पोहोचलो ना तो 14 एकराचा तो जे मैदान होत ते पूर्ण फुल भरलेलं होत.
And when we reached that ground, now we call it Dikshabhumi. At that time it was known by the different name, Mata Kacheri. So that was an open ground of 14 acres, a very big ground. And that ground was like full of people.
Eka bajula stage hota, jithe ata stupa hai.
So now there is a stupa. On that day, the very place where there is stupa now was the stage.
आणि सगळे लोक खूप उत्सुकतेने म्हणजे चेहऱ्यावर खूप आनंदाचे भाव आणि उत्सुकता असलेले कधी बाबासाहेब येतात आणि कधी आम्हाला दुसऱ्या धर्मात नेतात याची वाट पाहत होते.
And all the people were like waiting there very eagerly and they were like eager about when Dr. Ambedkar is like going to come and when he is taking us from this old religion to a new religion.
साधारण त्या दिवशी 9:30 बाबासाहेब तिथे दीक्षाभूमीवर आले तर मला चांगलं आठवतं की पांढरा धोतर आणि पांढरा शर्ट घातलेला होता त्यांनी आणि रत्तूच्या म्हणजे ते सेक्रेटरी होते त्यांच्या खांद्यावर आणि सविता आंबेडकर त्यांच्या खांद्यावर हात ठेवून ते स्टेज कडे जात होते.
And it was 9 o'clock in the morning and I very clearly remember when Dr. Ambedkar came, he was wearing this white Indian kurta and dhoti and he came with his secretary Nanak Chandrattu and his wife Savita Ambedkar and he was taking their support to walk.
बाबासाहेब आले मैदानात असं पाहिल्यावर लोक सगळे उठून उभे राहिले आणि आंबेडकर की जय अशा घोषणा द्यायला लागले.
And when people saw that Dr. Ambedkar was coming, all of them, they just stood up and they started to shout the slogans, victory to Dr. Ambedkar, victory to Dr. Ambedkar.
म्हणजे खूप हळूहळू चालत बाबासाहेब स्टेज कडे गेले. स्टेजवर चंद्रमणी होते आणि काही भिक्षू होते, नानकचंद आणि सविता आंबेडकर.
So Babasaheb was walking very slowly and walking slowly he went to the stage. On the stage there was this monk Chandramani and there were other bhikshus, other monks as well.
जेव्हा बाबासाहेबांनी चंद्रमणी कडून दीक्षा घेतली म्हणजे त्रिशरण पंचशील घेतलं त्यांनी आणि त्रिशरण पंचशील घेणं म्हणजेच बौद्ध धर्मामध्ये येणं तर तेवढं त्यांनी केलं चंद्रमणी कडून आणि काय म्हणतात त्यांना भगवान बुद्धाला त्यांनी मेणबत्ती अगरबत्ती अर्पण केली, फुलं अर्पण केले आणि खूप श्रद्धेने ते वाकले भगवान बुद्धाच्या समोर.
So Babasaheb received the ordination from Chandramani. He only received like precepts and refuges from Chandramani, which we need to become a Buddhist. And then he made this traditional offerings of flower, essence, stick and candle to the Buddha. And then he saluted the shrine.
त्याच्यानंतर त्यांनी स्वतः दीक्षा घेतली आणि त्यांनी कुठल्याही भिक्षूला किंवा चंद्रमणींना विनंती नाही केली की तुम्ही आता माझ्या लोकांना दीक्षा द्या म्हणून. तर त्यांनी स्वतः म्हणजे सगळ्या लोकांना स्वतः दीक्षा दिली.
सो ही रिसिव्ह्ड ऑर्डिनेशन फ्रॉम बंते चंद्रमणी. ही हिमसेल्फ बिकेम अ बुद्धिस्ट बट आफ्टर दॅट ही डिंट मेड अ रिक्वेस्ट टू बंते चंद्रमणी or any of the other monks to give ordination to other people, people who had gathered there. But he himself gave ordination to this other people who were gathered there.
म्हणजे हे बौद्ध जगतासाठी पण खूप क्रांतिकारक पाऊल होत की दीक्षा घेतल्यावर तो माणूस दुसऱ्याला दीक्षा देते.
And this was a very revolutionary step for the entire Buddhist world that the person who has just received ordination is immediately giving ordination to other people.
त्रिशरण पंचशील दिले नेहमीसारखं आणि 22 प्रतिज्ञा दिल्या.
And like always you ordain other people. He also gave refuges and precepts to other people. But he also gave 22 vows to this people.
तर ह्या ज्या 22 प्रतिज्ञा आहेत त्या त्यांनी स्वतः तयार केलेल्या होत्या.
And this 22 vows he had himself written.
त्याच्यातल्या पहिल्या ज्या 5 प्रतिज्ञा आहेत तर त्या आहेत की कुठल्याही हिंदू धर्माच्या देवाची पूजा करणार नाही या अर्थाच्या.
So first 5 of these vows are about that I am not going to follow any of the Hindu gods and goddesses.
आणि बाकीच्या ज्या आहेत त्या बौद्ध धर्मामध्ये आपण काय केलं पाहिजे आणि काय नाही केलं पाहिजे ह्याच्या विषयीच्या आहेत.
अँड रेस्ट ऑफ द वॉज आर अबाउट वॉट वी आर गोइंग टू डू वेन वी आर प्रॅक्टिसिंग बुद्धिझम अँड वॉट वी आर नॉट गोइंग टू डू वेन वी आर प्रॅक्टिसिंग बुद्धिझम.
दीक्षा झाल्यानंतर म्हणजे तो कार्यक्रम संपला आणि लोक मग आपापल्या ठिकाणाकडे निघाले.
सो आफ्टर द सेरेमनी फिनिश वेन दे वेर ऑर्डिंग दे लेफ्ट दॅट प्लेस अँड दे स्टार्टेड गोइंग बॅक टू देअर होम.
नाही त्या दिवशी नाही ते 15 गेले कारण 15 बाबासाहेबांनी म्हणजे त्यांचं भाषण होतं तिथे दीक्षाभूमीवरून.
They didn't go on the same day because the next day Babasaheb had planned to give a talk on the same ground.
तर ह्याच्यातली जी महत्वाची गोष्ट आहे ती मला इथे सांगायची अशी आहे की जेव्हा ही सगळी अडाणी लोक गरीब लोक त्यांच्या घरी गेली तर त्यांनी काय केलं.
सो वॉट आय वॉन्ट टू टेल यू इज दॅट ऑल दिस इलिटरेट पीपल ऑल दिस पुअर पीपल वेन दे रिटर्न बॅक टू देअर होम वॉट डीड दे डू.
त्यांनी पहिल्यांदा त्यांच्या घरामध्ये जेही हिंदूचे देव असतील ते काढून अक्षरशः फेकून दिले.
So the very first thing they did that whatever images of Hindu gods and goddesses were there at their places, so they might be Rupa or paintings or pictures or whatever was there, they took it and they just threw it out of their room.
म्हणजे केवळ बाबासाहेब आमच्यासाठी काय आहे किंवा त्यांनी आमच्यासाठी काय केलं आणि त्यांच्यावर किती श्रद्धा आहे हे या घटनेतून दिसते आपल्याला.
सो यू कॅन फ्रॉम दिस इन्सिडेंट और फ्रॉम दिस ऍक्शन यू कॅन सी दॅट वॉट बाबासाहेब मेंट फॉर देम मीन्स या जस्ट रिमूव द गॉड टोटली आउट ऑफ युअर लाईफ या जस्ट वन वर्ड फ्रॉम हिम.
आणखी एक गोष्ट सांगायची म्हणजे त्या दिवशी त्या प्रसंगाला म्हणजे दीक्षेच्या वेळेस तुम्ही सगळ्यांनी पांढरे कपडे घालायचे असा म्हणजे बाबासाहेबांनी असं सांगितलं होतं.
अँड बाबासाहेब हॅड जस्ट मेन्शन्ड इट दॅट वेन वी आर गोइंग टू डू दिस कन्वर्शन सेरेमनी ऑल ऑफ यू कम इन व्हाईट ड्रेस.
आणि लोक एवढी गरीब होती की प्रत्येक जण पांढरे कपडे खरेदी पण करू शकत नव्हते.
And people were so poor that they were not in position to buy white clothes.
Madam, आमच्या घरचं उदाहरण आठवते की माझी आई पांढरी साडी नव्हती तिच्याकडे तर माझ्या वडिलांनी पायजमासाठी जे कापड घेतलं होतं ते कापड नेसून ती दीक्षाभूमीवर आली होती.
And I remember this from my own home that my mother, she didn't had money to buy white saree. But my father had purchased a piece of cloth to stitch trousers from it. So she had wrapped that cloth which was for stitching a trouser for that ceremony.
तर अशा पद्धतीने लोकांनी म्हणजे बाबासाहेब जे म्हणतात ते करायचं कशी पण परिस्थिती असो.
So people had this amount of like faith that it doesn't matter in what situation or what circumstances we are, whatever Babasaheb is telling, we are doing it.
आणि माझ्यासाठी एक खूप चांगली गोष्ट म्हणजे मी स्वतःला भाग्यवान समजते की त्या सर्व प्रसंगामध्ये मला समोर बसायची संधी मिळाली.
And I feel extremely fortunate about this that when all of this was happening, I was like in way front row.
मला हे सगळं आठवतं आणि खूप मोठा म्हणजे जसं काही चित्र कोरल्या गेलेलं आहे एकूण एक गोष्ट आठवते तेव्हाची.
And that's why I remember all of this and every moment like it is carved on my heart. So I can remember almost everything.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. It's very moving to hear, actually, firsthand what the conversion was like and who was involved in the mass conversion and what tremendous faith they had. That, you know, really, it wasn't just an idea about, oh, it would be good to take up Buddhism. It was a revolution in life. I think we've actually run out of time, but just quickly, I don't know if any of you wanted just to say what that means to you, you know, becoming a Buddhist, what that means. Mm. I don't know if, Vidya Bardhani, you haven't said much, so maybe you would want to start. Mm.
My background is like I belong to other caste, so it was different, but because of Dr. Ambedkar, because of this movement in Maharashtra, I am Buddhist in this lifetime. Otherwise, I don't think that I'll become a Buddhist. So this is the impact of all over India, I can say. Yeah.
So
because as a woman also, I shared in other in international convention also. As a woman also, I see lots of discrimination and all the things happen in India, and I wasn't know how I can overcome or how I can practice. And as Dr. Ambedkar's wife, we spiritual helpers, because I decided not to be in a religious way because it is not helping me. But I was very frustrated, very disappointed, and very hopeless. And then when I came through the Buddhism, then I have hope that in this lifetime I can change my things. I can do something for myself and whatever suffering I'm seeing, able to bring up.
Well, that's very important for Bandini, because also what Baba Saheb Ambedkar did is he brought Buddhism back to India, because it had almost, well, it had died out in India, and he brought it back not just for his own community but for all communities in the land of its birth.
Dharmantar kelyanantar mhanje lokanmadhe khup dhairya ala. जो माणूस रस्त्याने खाली मान घालून जात होता तो सरळ मान करून चालू लागला, आणि तो कोणी विचारलं तर तो खूप अभिमानाने म्हणू लागला की मी आता बुद्धिस्ट आहे.
सो कन्वर्जन गेव ट्रिमेंडस अमाऊंट ऑफ करेज टू पीपल, बिकॉज बिफोर दॅट दे यूज टू वॉक ऑन द रोड विथ देअर हेड लुकिंग ऍट द ग्राउंड ऑर विथ हेड डाऊन, बट आफ्टर कन्वर्जन दे लाईक स्टार्टिंग वॉकिंग विथ मच कॉन्फिडन्स, हेड अप राईट, अँड दे विल telling people like, now I'm Buddhist.
So yes, one of the things that you might notice if you go and see our Sangha in India is they don't say Namaste or Namaskar to each other. That's the usual greeting in India. We say Jai Bhim. So what does Jai Bhim mean?
In single word, we can say, no, Jai Bhim is everything for us.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
With you, Dr. Ambedkar.
So why is it everything?
Yes, it's because of him only, you know. The untouchables can be lived as a human being, as we are here. So because of him only. If he wasn't there, you know, it's very difficult to us to go into school and live our life, upgrade and like this. So he devoted his life, whole life to the serving people. Those are depressed, untouchables. He just gave his whole life, and because of he devoted his whole life, we are able to go into school and yes, everything. It's because of him everything is happening in our life, actually. What we are now, so because of him only.
And because of them, I'm here.
Yeah, and me too.
So it is a connection. Like, so,
Him Rao, him.
Yeah. So yes, yeah, so Jai Bhim literally means victory.
Victory.
So Bhim Rao.
Yeah.
Bhim, which is his name, which literally means the fearsome one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So Jai Bhim means victory to Dr. Ambedkar.
Can I say something? Yes, Jai Bhim means victory to Dr. Ambedkar. But what does Dr. Ambedkar means? And what exactly is Jai Bhim? Because we just keep it repeating like Bodhisattva mantra. Dr. Ambedkar was a Bodhisattva. And if that Bodhisattva needs some mantra, then Jai Bhim is a mantra. And what is Dr. Ambedkar is embodiment of? Because Bodhisattvas are embodiment of anything.
Mm.
So, yes, that absolute state of fearlessness in the society where you have always lived that absolute like topmost quality education, and even when you don't have the circumstances, from that circumstances like ability to reach to the top, or like being in that position where you are giving up the same country direction or a constitution or everything which has always like treated you with hatred, but transforming that hatred into aversion and responding with compassion. So whatever qualities are there, like he was the embodiment of that. And Jai Bhim is a reminder of that mission, because when we are doing some Bodhisattva sadhana, we are trying to become like that Bodhisattva, and we need a mantra as a reminder of our sadhana. So Jai Bhim for us is our sadhana, is that mantra, that reminder to become like Baba Sahib and work for the same cause for which he was working. He died a natural death, but that is still our vow, that if we, our generation, generation after our generation, if we are not able to eradicate this caste system, we should really shoot ourselves.
Well, fortunately, our brothers and sisters in India are working for justice in society and for enlightenment, so no one has to shoot themselves. But well, before we finish, I think we should all say Jai Bhim. And yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you all to our glorious panel.
Thank you.
And the party for joining us.